Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
This is the Greg Peterson Experience. He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals. He had a voice that could make a Wolverine purr. On VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is hour number two of the Greg Peterson Experience on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, and we've got a tremendous hour number two coming up as we're going to be talking a little college football in 15 minutes. Danielle Avari is going to be joining me for a little bit of a deep dive into the Pac-12. She does a tremendous job as one of our featured analysts here at the network. So we're going to be talking a little Pac-12 and going to be a lot of West Coast talk here in hour number two, as we're also going to be joined by Jason Weingarten. He does a great job with the Wide World of Weingarten podcast. You're able to get that wherever you find your podcast, as he is going to be joining me to take a little bit of a look at baseball for both Tuesday and the futures market in general. And then with Danielle and also Jason, we're going to be taking a look at just what to expect out of the LA teams come this week. We're mainly going to be touching upon the Rams and the Chargers, but if time allows, we're going to talk about the outlook of the LA Dodgers entering into the postseason, as well as they have sewn up darn near everything in terms of the National League, in terms of the top seed, as they have won over 100 games. It has been absolutely remarkable to take a look at them, but I'm sure that there are many people that aren't necessarily so warm on the Dodgers that will be quick to remind you that, well, they have not won a title other than that 2020 season, which it was, shall we say, very strange. But with that said, we're going to lead off with a little bit of baseball in this hour, and we're going to go away from the West Coast, and we're going to go to the great Midwest. As a matter of fact, we're going to go to my home state of Wisconsin for this one, as we end up on my DGA Nation pick. We're going to look to go five in a row on these, as this is 957, 958 on the board. It is the St. Louis Cardinals. They hit the road. They're facing off against the Milwaukee Brewers, as Adrian Houser, he goes for the Brewers, and Miles Michaelis is on the bump for the St. Louis Cardinals. This is a pick'em game. You're finding both teams as bad as minus 110, as good as even money on the St. Louis, or as good as even money on the Milwaukee Brewers, really as good as about a minus 104 on the St. Louis Cardinals. So this is about as much of a pick'em as pick'em gets, as the total on this game, it is 8. And I can tell you right now, I do like this total. That's not what the write-up is going to be about, but I can tell you, getting an 8 in this spot, it seems a little bit strange, because Adrian Houser has been terrible for the Milwaukee Brewers. This is a guy that I just want absolutely no part of whatsoever. And I grew up a Milwaukee Brewers fan, but you got to set your fandom to the side in these instances where you have your favorite team playing, and you got to look at it as you are a fan of one thing and one thing only, your wallet and your bankroll. And My bankroll tells me that if I bet on Adrian Hauser, I'm going to be lighting money on fire because he's given up three runs or more in 8 out of his last 10 starts. Now, that excludes a random long relief appearance that he made against the Pittsburgh Pirates, so this is starts only, but yeah, it's been rough this year to say the least. And he's a pitch-to-contact guy that gets 6 half strikeouts per 9 innings and 3.9 walks per 9 innings. Shock, shock, surprise, surprise, it's not going well for him. Now, I will say, he's got about a 3.8 home ERA compared to a road ERA that hovers right around 6. And for Miles Michaelis, who's going to be going for the Cardinals, he has been a little bit more rough on the road rather than at home, right around a 4.5 ERA on the road in the neighborhood, about a 2.30, 2.35 at home. So a little bit of an issue there. But I will say for Miles Michaelis, what he does is he provides this team with length as he has went at least 6 innings in 9 out of his last 13 starts. And for the St. Louis Cardinals, this team has just been very good at moving the line. They are 4th in the league in terms of on-base percentage. You probably wouldn't know it after they went super ice cold last week as there was a 47-inning stretch where they had scored just one run, then they busted out towards the back half of that series against the San Diego Padres. So that was very strange. And we've seen that a few times this year with the St. Louis Cardinals. They might be one of the streakier offenses they're going to find in the big leagues. And the Brewers have been a streaky offense as well. And there's a simple explanation as to why the Brewers are so streaky. They rank in the top 4 in the big leagues in terms of home runs on a per-game basis. And they've got 3 guys with at least 28 home runs. That'd be Hunter Renfro, Rowdy Tellez, and Willy Adames. But they also don't do the world's greatest job of moving the line. They really don't have that one table setter leadoff guy. Now, Garrett Mitchell has been hitting about a 265, and Mike Brasso has been able to hit about a 270, but neither of these guys have necessarily seen significant at-bats. And then you got guys like Christian Yelich, Colton Wong, hitting in that fold of about a 250 to a 255, but the Cardinals, they do a better job of moving the line. Post-All-Star break, Corey Dickerson and Albert Pujols have been hitting in that fold of about a 300, and for Pujols, he's been getting a home run every about 13 or 14 at-bats overall for the season, more like once every 10 at-bats since the All-Star break. So he has been rock solid. Brandon Donovan does a good job of being able to reach base. He's hitting above a 280. Tommy Edmund has been one of the best action guys, and by that I mean he does a good job on the base paths. He's gotten over 30 stolen bases this season. He has been able to hit about a 260, so that has been rock solid along with their two main mashers. That'd be Paul Goldschmidt, Nolan Arenado. A combined 65 home runs from these two guys. Goldschmidt north of a 400 on base. Nolan Arenado, he's hitting about a 295, so these guys have been good. And for the Milwaukee Brewers, the bullpen has just had its trials and tribulations this year. With the Milwaukee Brewers bullpen, I like Brad Boxberg, who's given them a 3.2 ERA, and then you also have on top of that Devin Williams. Williams has been able to do a very nice job as he's got a sub-2 ERA overall for the season, but when you throw out there guys like a Trevor Gott, when you got, Brent Suter, guys like that, they just don't necessarily elicit a lot of confidence. Meanwhile, Ryan Elsley has a sub-2 ERA for the St. Louis Cardinals, and they've gotten a really nice find in young Zach Thompson. He's been sort of a long reliever. You can use him for one inning. You can use him for 2+. He's posted up a 2 ERA. Andre Pallante, if you need a little bit of length, which I don't think that the Cardinals are going to, with trotting out their Miles Michaelis and the way that he's been going, he's able to do a relatively solid job as well of being able to fill some innings. He actually made a few starts earlier this season, and the Cardinals, they are 7-4 in their last 11 games against the Milwaukee Brewers, and I do think that this is going to be a good spot for them to be able to take another one from the crew. I made the Cardinals more around a -125 favorite, so my DK Nation write-up going to be on the money line of the Cardinals, and with the struggles of Miles Michaelis on the road and the just general struggles of Adrian Hauser all darn season long, I'm going to be taking a look at the over as well. Let's stay out in the National League for this one as well, as we've got some good action for this MLB Tuesday, and this is one that I think is probably going to move a little bit, so I'll give it out right now in terms of what I like. 961, 962 on the betting board. The LA Dodgers, they're going to be on the road facing off against the San Diego Padres as Blake Snell is going for the Padres, and Tyler Anderson, he is on the bump for the Dodgers, and the Dodgers, they're between -115 to -120 favorites, and between even money and +110 is a number on the Padres with a total of 7.5. I was willing to lay up to a -118 with the LA Dodgers, so pretty much the number that we're seeing right now is the max that I'm going to be willing to lay with the LA Dodgers, but I am willing to take the LA Dodgers, and that's because Tyler Anderson has been a command freak. By that, I mean he is giving up fewer than 2 walks per 9 innings. He has done a good job in terms of pinpoint accuracy, not jacking up his pitch count, which allows him to go very deep into games. A product, actually, of out here in lovely Las Vegas. He has been pitching to contact, 6.5 strikeouts per 9 innings. And if you take a look at his, shall we say, advanced numbers, they do lead to a little bit of regression. But now pitching out in Petco Park, one of the most pitcher-friendly ballparks in the big leagues, this suits him very well. Probably doesn't deserve the 15-4 record that he's got. That's one of the, I guess you could call it, benefits of being with the LA Dodgers, but has pitched really well all season long. Meanwhile, with Blake Snell, this guy has been amazing recently. For Blake Snell, he started out the year very, very bad. As a matter of fact, I believe that the Padres went 1-8 in his first Cy Young starts. Things were not looking terrific for a former Cy Young Award winner, but guess what? Blake Snell, all of a sudden, he looks like that guy that won the Cy Young a few years ago, as he has given up 2 earned runs or fewer in 10 out of his last 12 starts, and 1 run or fewer in 4 out of his last 5 starts. Guess who the outlier came against? The LA Dodgers. As the Dodgers, last time he faced off against them, they hit him up. He went 4 innings, he gave up 5 runs, and that has really been his lone outlier over the last, we're going to call it, month and a half, because he has been that good over the time span of his last 12 starts, posting up a 2.42 ERA. The swing and miss stuff, it is definitely there. He's grooving in there, nearly 12 punch-outs per 9 innings, and he's been able to cut down on the walks as well. What has plagued Blake Snell ever since he got to the San Diego Padres is that his walks per 9 rate has been north of 4. In this span, his walks per 9 rate, it's been more in the neighborhood of 2.2 to 2.3, which allows him to go deeper into games. Blake Snell, even when he won his Cy Young Award, he was not able to go really north of 5 innings at a lot of his starts. All of a sudden, he's went 6-plus innings in 4 out of his last 5. That is very beneficial for the Padres. Problem for the Padres is their bullpen is not too terrific right now. They back him up with someone in Robert Suarez who's been able to do an okay job. Josh Hader, the last 2 weeks, has been better, but still, since he's come over to San Diego, he's got an ERA that's hovering right around 9. Talk about a trade that has not worked out for really either of these teams. That has been bad on all fronts, but they're also dealing with an injury to Nebel Crismet, who is one of the most trustworthy relievers of the San Diego Padres. Meanwhile, for the Dodgers, they have by far the top bullpen ERA in the National League, and it's guys that you wouldn't expect. Evan Phillips, Alex Vesia, Caleb Ferguson, posting up sub-3 ERAs. Craig Kimbrell has been the biggest albatross in this bullpen. He has not been good, to say the least, but for the San Diego Padres, problem for them is that, for one, they rank in the bottom 5 in the National League in terms of runs scored on a per-game basis at home. Very simple explanation for that. They play out in Petco Park, and it's a very pitcher-friendly ballpark, but Juan Soto, Josh Bell, Brandon Drury, all these guys, since they were acquired by the Padres, have been hitting below a .245. None of these guys have really supplied more than 5 to 6 home runs. They have been Buster Rooney's to this point, and for the LA Dodgers, you've got Mookie Betts, 35 home runs, 35 doubles. He does a great job at the leadoff spot. Trey Turner is hitting a .300. You've got Freddie Freeman hitting a .325 now. Lone trepidation that you might have with the Dodgers is that I've been noticing in recent days they've been giving their guys a little bit of rest, but if you're looking at an under, that actually helps out with that, and I am looking at this under. I set it at a 7.2. This is really the max that I'd be willing to lay with the LA Dodgers at a minus 118 right now, fighting it anywhere between a minus 115 to a minus 120, but I'd be willing to dive in on them as well, especially with someone like a Max Muncy, who has struggled towards beginning a part of the season, being able to pick it up, hitting above a .250 over the last 30 days. So there's really no breaks with this lineup, and there's never a break in terms of the great guests that we've got on this show, thanks to my wonderful producer, Jason Kahn, because coming up next, we are going to be going out to the great city of Los Angeles. That's where we find Danielle Avari. She does a great job at the network as one of our lead analysts. We're going to be talking a little bit about the Pac-12 and what we're going to be getting on this college football Saturday next here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying 4th season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddy, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddy as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hoops Peterson himself on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The NHL season is almost here, and our hockey betting experts are ready for all the action. The VSiN Hockey Season Prep Guide will be available soon with the strategies and best bets for the season end. Get in-depth analysis from our hockey experts, including Andy McNeil, with predictions for teams and players, win totals, daily betting tips, long season trends to watch, plus three things every new NHL bettor should know. The guide is a must-have with key insights and data for both avid hockey bettors and those are a little bit newer to the sport. Give yourself an edge this season and get the VSiN Hockey Prep Guide by becoming a VSiN Pro subscriber today at VSiN.com/subscribe. As we're back here on the Greg Peterson Experience on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And if you become a VSiN Pro subscriber, you get more deep dives from my guest right now in Danielle Avari, who does an absolutely amazing job here at the network. She's holding it down on the West Coast, taking a look at a little bit of everything that we're getting in terms of the sports scene out there. And Danielle, it's always great to have you aboard. Thank you.
It's good to see you, Greg.
It is great to see you. And what we're seeing in terms of the Pac-12 slate for this upcoming week is quite a few big spreads. And it feels like there is becoming a big divide between the haves and the have-nots in this conference. As I'm not sure about you, but I take a look at it, and the California schools have certainly been able to rise up, sans Stanford. I've liked what I've seen out of Washington and Utah. We were thinking that they could be actually college football playoff contender coming into the season. They probably hurt their chances very badly against Florida and then obviously Oregon as well. And then rest of the teams, it's a little bit tougher for them. I'm not sure if you feel like there's been a big divide between the haves and the have-nots, but I've been feeling that way. And it seems like that's sort of baked into lines this week.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you take a look at some of these matchups, and I mean, the Arizona teams are both down on their luck this year. Both the Oregon teams look at least decent, if not better than that. I feel so bad for Oregon State and the way that they had to finish that USC game, unfortunately. USC still doing its incredible things on offensive side of things, even though Oregon State's defense really did an incredible job of containing them. Utah still obviously the front runner, the favorite here, but has a tough test against Oregon State, who is going to have to recover from that emotional loss to USC. And then you have UCLA, who's who's kind of had this powder puff schedule and now has to face a real challenge in the number 15 Washington. So there's a couple matchups this week that are between some of those halves, if you will, that you mentioned.
Absolutely. And let's touch upon the team with the most prolific offense, in my opinion, really in the Pac-12 and in all the West. That would be USC. They're going to be playing us at Arizona State team that, if you want to insert a picture that perfectly describes Arizona State, a dumpster that is on fire would probably be the perfect picture for you, because that is Arizona State right now. And for USC, they're between 25.5 and 26-point favorites. I don't even know if this is enough with USC. Their offensive efficiency numbers have been terrific. Lincoln Riley has completely turned the fortunes of this offense around. Defense, I feel like, is still a little bit of a work in progress, but you're able to progress very well, work on new things against an Arizona State team that they can't get anything going right now.
Can't get a single thing going. Even getting rid of their coach didn't necessarily help them. What I like to do when I first take a look at these games, obviously, is just see where my initial gut reactions are. And for this game, I wrote under question mark. And lo and behold, it's down from 61.5 to 60.5 already at most books. So other people are liking that under as well. USC's last two games have gone under, but I do expect to see a statement game, if you will, from them after that low scoring, kind of scary finish against Oregon State. I think they're going to reestablish that dominance and kind of get that offense going again, like you alluded to. Barely made it by. I mean, Jordan Addison's 21-yard touchdown was really the game sealer for them, and that just was in the final seconds, minute 13 remaining for them. So I think that USC's offense will do what it does best and get back on track here. ASU, unfortunately, hasn't scored more than 21 points for three straight weeks, and all of their games have gone under. Their lowest total was 52.5, 58.5 was their highest, and now we're seeing this at 60.5. So this is on the lower side for a USC total for sure. And I think that there was a ton of hype on USC's offense heading into the season. I was one of the people who talked about USC overs were going to be where it was at. People wanted to bet these overs. But then we saw numbers like 70.5. Were you shocked, actually, Greg? Because I know we talked about this game. Were you shocked to see how far under this total it went?
I was a little bit surprised to see how far under it went, but that total was just sky high. We were both in agreement that it felt like getting north of 70, it just went too far.
Yeah, so I lean under in this one as well, but I do just get nervous because, I mean, USC could just go crazy and just go off. And really, that'd be more what I'm worried about than ASU, because like I mentioned, haven't been able to score particularly well in the recent weeks at least.
Yep, the fear is that USC might be able to do it all by themselves. And, well, USC, they are that high-powered on offense. We saw that certainly on display in their season opener. But this is also a very fascinating game because, Danielle, you know me. I love college basketball. And this feels like a spread that I would see in college basketball. Arizona's hosting Colorado, and it's between a 17 and a 17.5 point spread. I think that when these two teams played in basketball, it was right around about 20. So you're getting a little bit of a discount on the football side of things. But for Arizona, I mean, they're progressing. I mean, where they were 2 years ago as compared to now, there certainly have been strides forward taken by this coaching staff ever since they got out of their Kevin Sumlin. But with Colorado, I think that with this spread, it just speaks to how terrible they are right now and how nothing is going right for Colorado.
Yeah, because Arizona being an 18-point favorite after losing at Cal, because Cal's nothing to write home about, really. This is just not going to be a good matchup at all. And so the fact that you're looking at 18 points here, you almost would be like, let me take the points with Colorado if you hadn't watched Colorado at all this year. It was funny because I think that there were some Bruin fans that were worried that Colorado was going to possibly like create an issue for UCLA. And as we saw, they were able to handily deal with them. And that was not so much a testament to UCLA's prowess. It was more about Colorado just inability to do anything on the offensive side of the ball and stop anything on the defensive side. So if anything, if we think this is going to be kind of a garbage game, maybe we go over 56, but this is just a stay away for me.
Yep, I can't blame you there. This one's a little bit better because we were talking about the haves and the have-nots in the Pac-12, and I feel like both of these teams have something to prove. Washington State, they came out with that massive win against Wisconsin a little bit earlier this season, and you talked about it. Arizona, they lost to Cal last week, and Cal looking to build a little bit of momentum. As we know, this is Cal bunch that they've really been hanging their head on defense in recent seasons for Washington State. I feel like they're a little bit in the middle. They certainly have had a lot of coaching changes in recent years as well. But Washington State, between a 4 to a 4.5 point favorite, where do you lean on this one? Because one of the lower totals on the board between a 53 to a 53.5.
I mean, I'm inclined to look at Washington State. I think that some people even expected them to win that game against Oregon. I think most people actually probably threw most of that game. It was a heroic finish for Oregon. Maybe not the way that they wanted to win that, but I lean Washington State here. I think I have a lot more belief in what they're doing than what I've been seeing from Cal so far. And I do expect them to bounce back after kind of a brutal way to lose to Oregon.
I do think so as well, and I think that it's going to be interesting to see how that fares because, as we know, Washington State, they've got one of the more strange home field advantages over there in Pullman because it's sort of just out there randomly in the state of Washington, so it's always a tough place to travel to. So I always do give a little bit more credit for home field advantage when it comes to Washington State as well as on the hardwood for Washington State basketball as well. But this is a home field advantage I think is very interesting, and you being a UCLA alum, I know that you know all too well about it. This is UCLA and Washington. Washington, they opened up a 2.5-point favorite. This has risen to a 3.5-point line, and you got to think that if the fans are going to be out, they're going to be out for this game because it is a 7:30 kick on a Friday night, so I have a feeling that there's going to be a lot of people amped up for this one. Big matchup in the Pac-12. Where do you stand in terms of UCLA versus Washington? Because I like me some home underdogs, and this could be an interesting spot where I think that UCLA might be able to pick off the Huskies.
Yeah, obviously I'm hoping that that happens, but when you compare these two teams, one definitely sits above the other, and it's Washington. They've also faced, a Michigan State team that was ranked at the time that they beat them. And like I mentioned, UCLA's schedule has been a little bit of, it's been an easy road so far. And to your point about it being on a Friday, it's actually a worst case scenario, I think, for UCLA, because LA's Friday nights, difficult to get people out to this game, actually. And one of the things that the marketing department's having to overcome is getting these students out to the games. They don't have buses the way they do on the Saturdays just because there's a bus shortage. There's bus driver shortage. So they're trying to figure out how to get these students to this game. So I'm going to be interested to see if they can pull it off and get this Rose Bowl to actually have a good turnout. But hopefully, because this will be the first true test for UCLA, it's critical for them to actually have a good showing here, whether it's a win, which ideally is the best case scenario, or not, because I think this is going to be the game they win or lose those fans, that they'll be able to come back for, say, a Utah game or whatever it might be. So, I do think that the Huskies are going to have a lot more trouble getting to Dorian Thompson-Robinson than they were able to get to Stanford's quarterback because he likes to stay in the pocket. DTR likes to take off and move. So I think that they'll have a little bit more trouble with that. And honestly, the biggest gift to UCLA this week is that UW was out three of their five starters in the secondary last Saturday. We hope that they won't be getting all of them back. It sounds like Perriman's closest to returning by Friday, Asa possibly, and Michael Powell is a no for sure. So at least they're missing some of those defensemen. So maybe we'll see a lot of passing on both sides.
And for Washington as well, they've been a little bit more of an offensive team this year. But if you even go back to the Peterson era, they were a little bit more of a defense first team. So it should be interesting to see if the secondary, which Washington has produced a lot of good DBs as well, are able to get those guys back in the fold. And we're going to be getting someone into the fold on the other side, as Danielle's going to be sticking around, and we're also going to have Jason Weingarten. He does a great job over with the podcast, The Wide World of Weingarten, here at the network. He's going to be joining me as we're going to have a nice little chat about Los Angeles sports teams in general and how to bet them next here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Experiencing Hoops Peterson himself on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Start your football season off on the right foot by subscribing to VSiN Pro. Get full access to everything that we do, including our daily picks at a glance, which recaps all the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests 24/7 video season prep. That includes our weekly college and pro football matchup guides, covering every single game all season long, pro tools like our exclusive betting splits, and pro tips. They are updated every hour with actionable insights to up your sports betting game. Sign up for our discounted football special and get VSiN Pro access to everything that we do now through the Super Bowl for just $175, or save 50% off the monthly price with an annual subscription and bet smarter all year long. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe for all of your options. Become a part of the Sports Betting Network. Guys, we're back here on the Greg Peterson Experience on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, being rejoined by Danielle Avari. Does great work as one of our featured analysts here at the network. And then we've got Jason Weingarten aboard as well. He does a great job with his podcast, The Wide World of Weingarten. You're able to catch that wherever you get your podcasts. And let's talk a little bit about these LA teams. And Jason, I'll start out with you. What did you make out of the LA Chargers, not just losing to the Jacksonville Jaguars, but how they looked? Because I think the big surprise to me was just the fact that Trevor Lawrence completely carved up the defense the way that he did.
Yeah, you know, that was a great game for the Jaguars, for them, for building, for what they're building over in Jacksonville. But for the Chargers, I think the main takeaway for me was Herbert played through that injury, and he continued to play when he was injured, or when the game was well out of hand late. And I think it was just really bad. It was a really bad coaching decision on Staley's part. And I heard this on the XM NFL channel too today. They had the same thought I did after I recorded this podcast this morning and talked about it, is that Staley's the boss. He's the head coach. He's the one who's supposed to tell Herbert when it's time to come out of the game and, you know, focus on next week and get healthy. And he let him stay in there late when the game had already been decided, and he took a bunch of big hits. And I just thought it was another example of Staley not being as good of a game manager and coach that he needs to be successful with the Chargers. And I don't know, I think with the injuries, they're kind of, you know, they kind of took a serious hit now. Really would be looking to fade them getting 6 points with Houston. In fact, I already bet Houston +6. I talked about that on my podcast this morning.
Yep, I don't blame you there. And I do take away quite a bit from that as well, because we were talking about this with our football panel a little bit in hour number one as well. And I do take a look at Brandon Staley, and I think that that's a case where he needs to protect Justin Herbert from himself, because if you've got an athlete that's going to be pulling himself out of a game like that, that's not necessarily sending a great message. And you can commend Justin Herbert for wanting to stay out there in the game, wanting to be able to finish a job. But for Brandon Staley, if there's a big weakness with the Chargers at this point, I honestly think it's with Staley at the coaching spot. I'm not sure if you agree with me, Danielle, or not, but haven't been too impressed by the way that Staley has been coaching up this team the last few seasons.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of us were willing to say last season, okay, well, let him get it together in this follow-up year. But now we're already starting to see the cracks here. And unfortunately, because they are having these huge injury concerns, I don't know how much more we're going to get to see from these two. So I agree with Jason. I don't know why Herbert was in that game almost at all, honestly. I don't know that that was the most important thing for him to be doing, but especially that late in the game. And that, to his point, falls completely on Staley. The Jaguars beating them 38-10 was, to your point, very shocking as well, because I think we expected the defense to take bigger steps forward this year, and now we're seeing that not really a lot has changed. And then you look at this list of injuries and you just wonder, where can the Chargers go from here? I mean, fractured rib for Justin Herbert. Corey Linsley's out with a knee injury. Rashawn Slater going to miss the season with a torn bicep. Jalen Guyton also suffered a torn ACL. Keenan Allen, strained hamstring. Joey Bosa's out. J.C. Jackson. I mean, what did they have? 8 players in that top 100 for the NFL, and I think 5 of them are injured now. So it's really just a decimated start to the season for the Chargers. So there's so many things working against them. And so Staley to me isn't even front of mind with just how much they're hurting everywhere else.
Yeah, that's a rather long injury list, and that is not going to be too tremendous for them. And ironically enough, in Los Angeles, prior to week number 3, what we were talking about with them prior to Herbert getting injured was the injury to Matthew Stafford. But it looks like things are going a little bit better for the LA Rams, as it's going to be setting up a battle of California teams on Monday Night Football for this upcoming week between the Rams and the San Francisco 49ers. Jason, I'll start with you on this. I do feel like the overreactions were a little bit too extreme to the Rams losing in week 1, because we have seen that the Buffalo Bills, despite them losing on Sunday to the Miami Dolphins, they are the real deal. They are one of, if not the best team in the NFL right now. And for the LA Rams, it just feels like they're a really good coach team with Sean McVay and all that he's doing. And for Matthew Stafford, he still doesn't necessarily look 100%. The 5 interceptions begin the year has been a little bit troubling, but still, it's a very well-rounded core, and it feels like Stafford getting better and better with every passing week.
Yeah. You know, that any, obviously anything that happens week 1, you can always just kind of throw out the window, good or bad. But real quick with the Chargers, just wanted to say the other thing with Staley and Herbert staying in the game is it kind of showed me that Herbert's in charge and Staley isn't, and the players can look to Herbert for, you know, what's going on and not necessarily the head coach. And that's just a bad situation. So with all the injuries, it wouldn't surprise me if this is just kind of a lost year for the Chargers at this point. But the Rams, the Rams definitely have a lot to be thankful for this early in the season, that they got the Cardinals coming off overtime, which was a pretty good spot for them. And they just held out against the Falcons, a game that really could have been a loss for them with that big week two with all the last minute scoring. You know, the Falcons came up just short there, but I'm still concerned about the Rams. They have problems at offensive line. They have problems with the defensive backs, and it's not necessarily going to be an easy game against the 49ers, even with them coming off a loss at Denver.
Well, Jason just mentioned concerns with both of these teams, and Danielle, I'll pose a question for you. Who would you be a little bit more concerned about as things sit right now between the Rams and the Chargers? Because I personally would lean towards the Chargers having more concerns, but I do think that Jason brings up some relatively good points with the LA Rams, because they did have a little bit of a, shall we say, not so great second half against the Falcons. Anyone that bet them knows about this, as the Rams, they were in full control and then they don't get the cover. Meanwhile, for the Chargers, you just brought up all the injuries that they've got in general. And when it comes to the Chargers, a lot was expected from them. And on paper and on paper alone, I thought that they had a top four team in the NFL just in terms of the sheer talent. Now a lot of that is gone.
Yeah, like I said, it's been decimated. And so if you want to talk about which team is better off or which team I think is worse off, you're looking at how many holes are in the ship. For the Rams, maybe there's a couple, but with the Chargers, it's all of these injuries. It's Brandon Staley's issues that we talked about, and it's the Chargers defense. So that ship is well on its way to sinking, which is unfortunate, because to your point, they were expected to be one of the top teams, to the point where you could see a lot of people taking futures on the Chargers and Justin Herbert in the MVP race as well. So it's really sad to see so early in the season all of that dwindling away. But I think that the Rams holes are a little bit more manageable. I also think that they're stoked that the 49ers game finished the way that it did. I'm surprised that the 49ers are favored here at home. And fortunately for them, because they are going to be facing them a couple times here, Trent Williams with a high ankle sprain could miss 4 to 6 weeks. I think that's really beneficial to them in this spot. And I do think that they're going to have to be very cautious, given that Matt Stafford's interception prone, let's say, or maybe his elbow is causing him to throw them. Who knows? But we saw just how effective the 49ers defense can be. They are the reason that I lost my fantasy by 0.04 this week. I was against the San Francisco defense, and I had Javon. So it just it was a mess for me. So basically what I'll say is the 49ers defense is not to be taken lightly, and I do think they're going to be able to create a lot of turnovers from Matt Stafford.
And I'm so glad that you pointed that out, that you're a little bit surprised that the 49ers are currently the favorite. And I'll pose this to you, Jason. Were you a little bit surprised to see this look at line of the 49ers being a 1-point favorite going to 2.5? Because the 49ers display on Sunday Night Football, it was one of the ugliest displays of football we've seen all season long. And I can understand the 49ers being a little bit of a favorite here, but I'm surprised that this moved by 1.5 after what we saw on Sunday.
I bet the 49ers last week, early in the week. Then I listened to Dr. Bob on Gil's show. I think it was on Friday. And he laid out a really good case why the 49ers were not the correct side this weekend. So I ended up betting off the 49ers on Sunday afternoon based on how I had done Sunday. I realized I didn't want to be holding a 49ers position any longer. So it didn't surprise me. I'm not really surprised to see them slightly favored here at home. Rams have injury concerns on the offensive line. Trent Williams being out is huge, though. That's a major thing. The Rams should capitalize and win this week. If they don't, then they should be seriously concerned about the team they've built this year.
Yep, I do agree with you there, but there's never a concern whenever you join us, Danielle, because you provide absolutely tremendous content, and I know you do a great job with all of our deep dives here on the network. Always appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Danielle does absolutely amazing work here at the network, and coming up on the other side, Jason Weingarten of the Wide World Weingarten podcast. He's going to be joining me. We're going to take a look at some futures and Tuesday's MLB card here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Seen Hoops Peterson himself on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Kick off the football season with Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook. Bet Rivers is your go-to sportsbook for every line, boost, and special. Lace them up for week four with the Bet Rivers Parlay Insurance and Touchdown Insurance offered every single Sunday. All season long, build a parlay of at least four legs, and if it loses, you get your stake back. That's a free bet of up to $25. Wager on any player to score the first touchdown on Sunday Night Football, and you get your money back as free bet if they score at any time. Head on over to BetRivers.com or download the BetRivers app, as it's a whole new game. We're back here on the Greg Peterson Experience on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, and we're being rejoined by Jason Weingarten. Does a great job with the Wide World of Weingarten podcast. And Jason, I always love to hear some of the futures that you take a look at, because you do a great job in so many markets. I know that you've been firing in a lot in terms of the MLB market. You've been taking a look at some long shots in the NFL as well. Since we last talked about a week or so ago, anything new that you fired in and added to the portfolio?
Yeah, let's take a look at some of the stuff I have. I have some of it on my phone right here. Got Trevor Lawrence 50-1 to win the MVP.
That's a good ticket.
That was a bet on Sunday morning, thinking, well, I'm already on the Jaguars. What happens if they win? Well, obviously his MVP odds go down. I bet on the Falcons at 50-1 to win the NFC. What are they? The South? Yeah, 50-1. Basically, same thing. I wanted to anticipate a victory on Sunday, which I got. Denver Broncos plus 350 to win the AFC West. That was just an assumption on Sunday morning that what happened could actually happen, and every other team in the division would lose. That was just a way to get ahead of that. And I bet the Jaguars to win the AFC Championship at 50-1. I probably took a really bad number there, but I wanted some Jaguars exposure because Trevor Lawrence could be the next big thing in the NFL. Don't forget how great he was in college. You know, just we have a tendency to forget how good guys could be, you know, so quickly.
And I'm so glad that you bring that up. That's something that I always love to take a look at in college basketball. A guy that might be out due to injury, had an underachieving year due to just a bonehead coach in general being in there. And that certainly applies to Trevor Lawrence. And I do think that there are some of those guys that they're able to bust out a little bit more. Like, I know that one of the guys that you took for odds win MVP, and obviously it's a long shot, but Geno Smith, he's been able to have a halfway decent year. I'm not saying that Geno Smith is going to win the MVP or anything like that, but you know what? You take a look at his numbers and they are respectable. And how do you try to gauge this in general with some of these guys that they might be a little bit more out of sight, out of mind, but taking a look at perhaps what they've done in the past in terms of college, maybe like how they were rated coming out of high school. I think that it's something that is very important and something that could be very profitable.
Well, Geno Smith specifically, not only has he been playing pretty well, but he leads the NFL in completion rate right now at 77.5%. He's thrown for more yards and completed more passes this season than both Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. So, you know, all things considered, I think the Seahawks are getting what they're paying for out of Geno Smith. He's probably like 10th in the MVP, 15th, you know, they're 1-2. So he's not really that close to the top, but the numbers are respectable. So I could dream a little bit longer if they can go on a playoff run. If they can get a playoff spot, he's definitely theoretically live for a, you know, consideration, but not getting my hopes up or anything. As far as like how you look at this stuff, you know, there could only be 30 contenders for MVP, because to be the MVP, you have to be the best player on your own team. So the easiest thing to do is just go through each team and decide who's the best player on that team. And in most cases, it's always going to be the quarterback. You know, this is a quarterback dominant award. Cooper Kupp didn't win the award, getting almost 2,000 yards last year. So you really, really, you know, I don't know what you would have to tell me or convince me is a MVP season for a non-quarterback. I always like to throw a guy or two in there, but I just don't see it as realistic. But you go through and you find the top 30 guys, basically one for each team, and then you just rank them. You know, it's really an easy sort of deal with MVP in the NFL.
Yep, and we always have to keep in mind that when it comes to odds to win the MVP, sometimes it doesn't necessarily go to the guy with the best stats, but the guy with the best narrative in general. And typically, voters, they absolutely love to pile in on the quarterbacks rather than last year. We had ourselves a good case for Cooper Kupp, especially. I would say Jonathan Taylor had a case himself. He had an amazing season in the backfield, and of course, goes to a quarterback in Aaron Rodgers, despite the fact that he probably, you know, had one of the worst games for any starting quarterback in week one when he took on the New Orleans Saints. That I think is always important to take a look at as well, which means that most likely you're looking at about 28, 29 quarterbacks in this market and maybe one or two guys that aren't a quarterback as well. So I do think that that is important to keep in mind. And Jason, I know that's something that you do a great job of, and also something to keep in mind is that a lot of the best numbers that you can find in baseball, they are overnights. And I know you fired in on a young starter that I think is going to be very good for a long time. Unfortunately, hurt his cause in terms of trying to be able to win Rookie of the Year due to a sit on the injured list. But let's take a look at Reds versus Pirates, because I know you've got a little bit of a play as Hunter Green is going for the Reds, and Mitch Keller has really been able to rise up recently, goes for the Pirates in a game in which the Pirates right around a -112 to a -115 favorite.
Yeah, I bet Hunter Green plus 100. You know, I thought it was a pretty reasonable price to get Hunter Green at this late in the season. And obviously Keller's good, but the Pirates have been checked out for a pretty long time at this point. And the Reds are still playing relatively competitive, even though they've lacked the innings and the rotation to really sustain success down the stretch. Hunter Green's a legit pitcher. I mean, he was early in the season, he was probably 4-1, one of the favorites for rookie of the year early, because he was mowing guys down. He's really a guy like, looking ahead to 2023 baseball, he's going to be a guy that I'm very much going to be interested in betting most strikeouts, you know, to lead MLB in strikeouts at a big number. Hopefully he's the real deal. I like him a lot, and I think, getting a good price on him tomorrow versus not such a good team.
And what I think is important to take a look at as well is in terms of what's backing him up as well, because with the Cincinnati Reds, they had a cataclysmically bad bullpen in the first half of the season, but I took a look at them for their second half numbers. They're actually ninth in bullpen ERA since the All-Star break. Meanwhile, the Pittsburgh Pirates, they've got the worst bullpen ERA in the National League post-All-Star break. Ironically enough, number two is the Philadelphia Phillies, so State of Pennsylvania not coming through in terms of bullpen, but how much does that play a little bit of a factor as well? Because if you look at the full season numbers in terms of these bullpens, they look relatively equal, but if you look at just the second half of the way that they perform, the Reds have been far better.
Yeah, obviously I don't have much confidence in Pittsburgh at this point, any part of their team, the bullpen, the starters, the you know, everybody knows the deal in Pittsburgh by this point in the season, and you're just counting down the days till you get to go home or go on vacation or play winter ball or whatever's next. So, you know, like it's just a situation, like, especially when we get into this last week or 2 weeks in the season, I don't really want to handicap which teams are still trying, which teams aren't, because I don't have good information on that kind of stuff. I don't have, you know, secret sources of information that could tell me that kind of stuff. I just have access to the same beat writers everybody else has. But I do notice when teams are playing exceptionally bad, and the Pittsburgh Pirates tend to, you know, kind of go off a cliff before this point in the season. So I'm happy to fade them here. But like I mentioned last time, my volume really decreases day to day at this point in the season, just because outside of a few select spots, like the Guardians, I was really happy to get short prices on the Guardians all weekend versus the Rangers. I didn't understand that every day. But very much at this point, I'm not interested in betting on, you know, playoff teams versus non-playoff teams or non-playoff teams versus non-playoff teams for the most part. There's obviously exceptions, but I think the MLB would do so much better if they just cut the last 2 weeks of the season off and didn't try to compete with the NFL, because they can't win.
I agree with you. If they went back to like more like 150 games, I think that would be good for them. But something that is always good for the show is getting you aboard, Jason. Always appreciate it, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. Always, always a lot of fun coming on and talking about football, baseball, everything.
Jason does it all. He talks a little bit about the NFL, as I know that he's got some positions in terms of odds to be able to win the MVP, and that is going to be our pro tip for this hour. And you're able to get all of these pro tips at VSiN.com/subscribe. We give out one every hour on every one of our shows. You're able to separate them by sport and by show, and mine is going to be, when it comes to voting on awards, they are very much narrative driven, and with regards to statistics, they don't necessarily mean the end all be all, because, well, these are awards that are voted on by voters themselves rather than just being purely based on the numbers. So always keep that in mind. And in hour number three, keep in mind we still have some baseball to bet on. So we're going to talk about that next here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Bet Rivers Sportsbook app has a huge number of live streaming events every day. Bet Rivers Sportsbook has great offers, including a $250 match bonus on your first deposit, and all bonuses are only one-time playthrough. Amazing offers and great customer service makes Bet Rivers your hometown sportsbook. First, your hometown sportsbook. First, your hometown sportsbook. First, your hometown.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff.
Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.